If you have your Bibles, we'll turn please to Hebrews in chapter 13. Book of Hebrews and in chapter 13. And the text can be found, a very familiar text, but it's found at the end of verse 5. And it says, "For he had said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." The great promise of Christ. Let's look to the Lord for his help. Our Father in heaven, we thank you we can settle ourselves down now, Lord, at thy footstool. And like Mary of old, we sit at thy feet and listen to thy word. And we pray, Lord, that thou will give us help to listen to the word of God. And thou will give us help to speak the word to lay upon our heart. I pray it be a real encouragement to the hearts of your dear people. Even this very day, we thank you, it is the words not of any preacher, but the words of Christ that matters. And I pray that I will speak to hearts and bless thy truth, Lord, to everyone in this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This epistle of Hebrews, while it bears no name of a human author, it is commonly reported, and rightly so, to tribute to the Apostle Paul. And like all of his other writings, he is writing to Christians, and he wants to instruct them, and he wants to encourage them, because he wanted to see all of these people that he preached to. He wanted to see them going on with God. He wanted them to walk with God. He wanted them to live a holy and a perfect life. He wanted them to follow Christ. He wanted them to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted them to trust the Lord Jesus with all of his heart. And therefore he writes to encourage them. Now the best way to encourage the people of God was to bring the person and work of Jesus Christ before them. And this is what the Apostle Paul does in this epistle. This is a tremendous book, the book of Hebrews. It's a book that exalts Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, we're brought face to face, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is God. Unto his Son, he said, thy throne is forever settled in heaven. He is God of gods. It tells us he is the one who has created the world. It tells us in verse 6, let all the angels fall down and worship him. Oh, we're brought face to face with the person of Jesus Christ. And there is none like him. There is none like Christ in all the world. And every child of God, if you only see Christ, who he really is, and all his purity, and all his love, and all his passion to all of his people, and all of his power that he is one who sits upon the throne and he rules over everything, I'll tell you this, you'll be greatly encouraged. You'll be greatly encouraged. That's why the Apostle Paul has said to this people in Hebrews 12 verse 2, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and he says to the people, look on to Christ. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there may be difficulties and there may be problems, but I'm saying to you, here's the secret of the Christian race. Here's how you are to walk with God. Here's how you are to live before the Lord. Keep your eyes on Christ. Baby child of God, you're discouraged this morning because you've taken your eyes off Christ. Looking on to Jesus. He sets Christ before them and all of his person and all of his power, about his priesthood as well, because he says in chapter 3, verse 1, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. He lifts Christ up, not as the sovereign one, but as the one who has died for his people. He is the great high priest. He is the one who has died upon the cross for your sins. He has put away sin, even by the sacrifice of himself. And I'll tell you even more than this, says the Apostle Paul. He ever liveth to make intercession for his people. He's praying for you at this particular time. He is a great high priest right up there in the throne of heaven, and he's praying for you. No, child of God, not to encourage you to realize that all your sins are forgiven. Every sin we've committed, how vast they were, how wicked were our sins, but the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, has cleansed us from all sin. All our sins are gone. That's to greatly encourage us this morning. We have a great high priest who made a great sacrifice, the sacrifice of himself. And that's why we're saved, and that's why we're on our way to heaven. And I rejoice today, he's praying for me in heaven. And child of God, he's praying for you today. Oh, he's encouraging the people of God today. Talks about the person of Christ and the priesthood of Christ in this epistle. But here we're brought before the great promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he's writing to a people who feels like giving up, stopping the faith, quit walking on with God. And he says to them, he has said, I have a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Here's our great promise. Here's a promise from God. Here's a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just to this people, but to all of his people all over the world. What is the promise? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that amazing? That the Lord Jesus had to say such words to us, his people. Because maybe some of God's people in this service this morning, and you fear that God is going to leave you. Maybe some of God's people in this meeting, you've been washed in the blood of Christ, and you have Christ as your Savior, but the devil has come, and the devil has said to you that Christ has left you. That's a lie. That's why the promise is in the book. It's to encourage us at this time. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. But I want us to look at this great promise that comes from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say a first thing about this promise. I believe it is a royal promise. This is not a promise from any great prophet. It's not any great prophets in the Bible. And the Bible's full of men who were great prophets. Men who stood for Christ. Men who preached with power. But it certainly is not a promise from any great prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. It's not a promise even from the lips of the Apostle Paul. It's a promise from the King. It's a promise from Christ himself. It says here, he has said. And the Apostle Paul has not taken the glory or any of the glory for this promise. He says here, he has said this. Jesus Christ has said. What has he said? He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He takes his hearers right to the very source of this promise. Christ says this. It's a royal promise because it's from the one who is Lord and King, Jesus Christ. He said it. When I think of this royal promise, I have to say, it's a great promise. Everything about the Lord Jesus Christ is great. Isn't his love great? Isn't it marvel that he loves us? Isn't his mercy great to all of his people? His power is certainly great, and we're living proof of that this morning. He rescued us from a pit of sin, took us out of that horrible pit. His joy is great. Oh, his peace is great. There's no peace in our souls like the peace we have with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, his very promises are great. Here's our great promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Read it into your heart, child of God, this morning. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's also a good promise. You see, the child of God, this would be a good promise for the child of God to lay hold upon. It's a Proverbs 15 verse 23 said, a man has joy beyond him of his mouth and a word spoken in due season. How good it is. I talked about a word spoken in due season. A good word. You know how good it is to your heart. Somebody just speaks a word. It lifts you up from your depression, your darkness, your sadness. Just a little word, a little message. Well, here's a good promise. Does it have any child of God this morning who has a fear, who's cast down in any shape or form? He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It is a good promise. It's a promise that's guaranteed. The King has said, he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The thing is as good as done, you see. Christ has said to every one of his people here this morning, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise, a royal promise for my heart this morning. And child of God, it's a promise to your heart. and everyone in this meeting, and every child of God that's outside the meeting. He has said this himself. He has said it to all of his people. It is a royal promise, a good promise, a great promise, a promise that's guaranteed. He has said it. He has said it. I will never leave you nor forsake thee. You know, sometimes we forget the promise. Sometimes, child of God, you disbelieve the promise. Sometimes, perhaps, you doubt the promise. But he has said it. The Lord Jesus has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It is a royal promise from Christ. I think of this promise in the Bible, I see it as a repeated promise. It's not only that the Lord has said these words once, but we do find when we come to the Bible, he has said this promise a number of times. And I want to tell you this, he says this promise at the right time. He repeats it at the right time. It says, he has said. Where did he say these things? Well, over in Genesis 28, we find Jacob. Jacob had to run for his life. Esau was on the warpath. Esau says, I will take away his life. He has tricked me out of the blessing. He has taken away my inheritance. And so on. I will take away his life. And Jacob has to run. And I want you to notice this. Jacob is all alone. He's heading down to Haran. He's away from his home. He's away from his father. And he's away from his mother. And he's entering into strange territory. And there he is in the very darkness and the deadness of the night. And you can see Jacob. He's a lonely man. He's all alone. Nobody around Jacob at all. But what happened to Jacob was this. God spoke to him. He saw a ladder. And at the top of the ladder, there was the Lord. And the Lord said to Jacob in verse 15, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places where thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And I want you to notice, here's a man getting this promise in times of solitude, in times of loneliness. And the Lord comes and he says, I am with thee. And I will keep thee in all places. And I tell you this, Jacob, I will not leave thee. He got the promise. He got the promise, the word from God, just when he needed it, when he felt all alone, when he felt forsaken perhaps by his family and by his brother. He got the promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I said to you, child of God, this morning, do you feel alone? Do you feel forsaken? You have the promise. The promise of Christ. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It came to him in the deadness of the night, in the darkness of the night, in the trouble and anguish of his very soul. There he is, all alone, and the Lord comes to this man. The Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He got the promise. In times of solitude, in times of strife and warfare, we also see that this promise was given. It was given, of course, by the Lord unto Joshua over in Deuteronomy and chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 68. Moses, of course, is speaking to Joshua. And he says to Joshua, remember Joshua had to go in to take new ground for God. There's going to be battles to fight. There are going to be enemies to face. But he had the promise when he was going. Because it says in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, be strong of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. There we have the promise again. God is going to be with him at this time. In verse 8, for the Lord, and the Lord he it is that doth go with thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. And he got the promise. He had to go to face these enemies in this land. He had to go and fight battles for God. But what happened here to Joshua? He got the promise. God says, I will be with thee and I'll never forsake thee. And oh, child of God, maybe you have battles to fight. Maybe you're going through strife and sufferings at this particular time. Well, remember this. You've got the promise of Jesus Christ. Remember, he says that Joshua also in Joshua 1 verse 5, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Not a wonderful thing to have the promise of God with you. And all your battles and all your troubles that you have to fight, take new ground for God, whatever the case may be. Here was Joshua, and he had the promise of God, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And child of God, you have the promise. In times of strife, in times of warfare, remember you've still got the promise. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. We find this promise given in times of service. It has to do with Solomon. David, his father, was instructing Solomon to build the temple of the Lord. A mighty duty he had to do. Great responsibility was laid here on the very shoulders of Solomon. In 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 20, here's what David said to him from the Lord. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong of good courage, and do it, and fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord thy God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. There's the promise again. And he's reminded him he has the promise. Now he had a great duty to perform. He had to build this temple. And here is his father David. And he says to him, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the Lord. Solomon, you've got the promise. I know you've got a great duty to do. But remember this, the Lord will be with you. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. He had the promise to do in this work. And all child of God, can I say to all of us, in the work of God, whatever the task is that we've got to do, we've got the promise. We've got the promise of the Lord. He will not fail us, fail thee, nor forsake thee. He will help us. He will be with us in our service for Him. Let us then go forward with confidence. Let us seek to do whatever we can do for the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve Him with all of our heart, because we have this promise. We come to the Bible, we find it being repeated time and time and time again. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I think another time over in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, in times of fear. You know, fear, if we allow it, can grip our hearts. When fear grips the heart of a child of God, we're not showing great faith. Faith overcomes all fears. We keep our eyes on Christ, you see. We know that Christ is with us. We know that He will not leave us. But sometimes we take our eyes, as I have said, off Christ. And our hearts is full, not of faith, but full of fear. And we're shaken to the very core. And we feel we cannot take another step for Christ. We cannot even live another day for God. The fear grips it. It cripples every child of God. But we've got the promise. The promise of God is even there for God's people, even whose hearts are full of fear. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, here's what he says. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea. I will help thee, yea. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, what a promise this was to the people. Their hearts were full of fear. But the word of God comes with great power. Tell them, fear thou not, for I am with thee. The same message. The same message that Paul is preaching here to these Hebrew Christians. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. You have the promise. You have the promise of God. God is with you. God will take away all fear, even from your hearts. Rest on Him. He's holding your hand. He will strengthen thee. He says, I will help thee. I will help thee. And even those days there were people whose hearts were full of fear and had the promise of God. And what I'm showing to you here, to some occasions in the Bible, this is a repeated promise throughout the Word of God. God is coming to Jacob, and He's saying to Jacob, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He comes to Joshua. He comes here through the prophet Isaiah, and He's saying unto this people, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. It is a repeated promise. And I ask you this morning, child of God, are you lonely? Do you feel all alone, forsaken? Christ has not forsaken you. Having new ground or new battles to fight for the Lord, or going through hard times? Is your heart full of fear today? Have you do a duty for God? You say, I don't know how I'm able to do this. Remember this, child of God, you have the promise. You have the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has said, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. It is a repeated promise that's found in the Word of God for every circumstance. And it's an amazing, is it not amazing in our Christian life that there's times the Lord has to come time and time and time again and remind us of had the promise. Remind you, had the promise. Maybe this is not the first time you heard somebody preach in this and this promise to your heart, but you've forgotten about it. The Lord comes time and time again and all of His mercy and all of His goodness and reminds you. Remind you this morning, child of God, whatever case you're in, we have mentioned here in that point, I will not fail thee. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. You have the promise of Christ. I tell you this, when you have that, you have everything. When you have this promise in your heart. Can I say it is a reliable promise? Bible commentators, including the great C.H. Spurgeon, tell us that in the original Greek language, there are five negatives in this text. We don't really do that with English. Maybe we'll put a couple in it. But there's five actually in this text. And he translated it like this. He says, here the negatives have a fivefold force. It is as though he said, I will not leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I will not leave thee. I will never forsake thee. And we were singing a great hymn there together. And I think this verse, the last verse, summed it up. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose. I will not desert to his foes. That soul though all hell should endeavor to shake. I'll never forsake. Never will forsake his people. And about five times in that particular text he tells us that he will not leave us. Not just that he says it once. There are five negatives in that particular text. And the Lord is saying, I will not leave thee. I will never forsake thee. It is a reliable promise when it comes to God. It comes to God to all of our hearts. I cannot make that promise to my family. But I'll never forsake them or leave them. And everyone in this meeting can't make it. Because one day the death angel will call to their home. And we will leave our family. One day we'll be taken away from those that we love. David said in Psalm 27 verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He realized there was a day when his father and mother would forsake him. He would leave his father and mother, but he always had the Lord. I cannot make that promise to my family, and you can't make it to your family. One day we will all take leave from our families. But here's a promise for life, and the Lord will never leave us. It is our reliable promise that lasts throughout all circumstances. What about the times when we sin? Sad to say, we do feel the Lord. Like David, or David sinned greatly with the Lord, but the Lord didn't forsake him. You and I have failed the Lord. You and I have done things that we deserve to be forsaken. And the Lord would take his leave from us. And say, I'm finished with you. I'm fed up with your lifestyle. I'm fed up what you're saying. I'm fed up what you're doing. I'm fed up with your sins that you've committed against me. But he never forsakes his people. I'm not saying we don't deserve to be forsaken. Every one of us does. But you know, through all circumstances, when we sin, we still have the promise. Have you fallen into sin? The Lord will not leave you. That's a lie from the devil. That's a lie from Satan himself. He says to his people, well, the Lord has forsaken you. He has cast you off. You're heading down towards hell. It's a lie. Through all circumstances, it's reliable. The Lord will not leave us. Now, that does not encourage us to go out and live like a devil and do whatever we want. That does not encourage anybody to do that. And if you go out and do that and say, oh, I can do whatever I want and go to heaven, you're certainly not saved. You don't want to sin against the Lord. But when we do feel the Lord, we have the promise. This is reliable throughout all circumstances, throughout all countries, no matter where we go, where it may be, in His will, of course. He is an ever-abiding friend. You can uproot and go live on the other side of the world. And you know, The Lord says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. All changes. A young year, teenage years. When we get to old age, which we certainly all will get to someday, they'll still have the promise. The promise is still there for God's people. It says in Isaiah 46 and verse 4, even to your old age I am he, even to your hoars will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry, I will deliver you, even to the grey hairs upon their head. He says, listen here, God says, I will carry you. He's carrying his people, and he's carrying them not just for a few years, but he's carrying them right to the very end of time. He had the promise throughout old age as well. When death comes, of course, which will come to all, we have the promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The story is told about a bishop, Fisher there of Rochester, came out of the Tower of London and he saw the scaffolding that was before him. They're going to behead this man. You can imagine the fear that came into his heart as he looked upon the scaffolding. The crowd were bent for his blood. And he looked to the Lord. He lifted out his New Testament. And he says, O Lord, direct me to some passage which may support me through this awful scene. And he opened up his Bible at John 16 and verse 32. And he read these words, Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, but the Father is with me. And here we close the Bible. And he says, Praise God, this is sufficient for me and for eternity. Alone, yet not alone, because the Father is with me. He had the promise, you see, a reliable promise, even in the time of death, even the time of an awful death. Here's a promise we can trust right throughout our life. When we come to die, we know that Christ will be with us. When we come to judgment, we know He will be with us. When we come to eternity, we still have the promise, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. Get a hold of the promise of God today. Every child of God in this meeting, He has said it. He has said it. I can depend upon this. It is a reliable promise. Throughout all circumstances, changes in my life, I have the promise. He will not. No, never. He'll never forsake us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To have Christ as your Savior and to know that He is with you, even at this time. Can I say it is a rewarding promise as well? For He has said, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. But you take what He said before this. It says, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, links both together, contentment. The person who really knows that Christ is with him is content. But I want to tell you this, when you have Christ, you have everything. You know Christ is your own and personal Savior, and that your sins are forgiven, and you're on your way to heaven, and to know every day of your life, and walking with Christ, and Christ is walking with me, then I can say, every child of God, we should be content with such things as we have, for He has said, you have Christ with you, you have His presence, you have everything. When you have Christ, you have everything. Last thing I'll be having this morning, take the world, but give me Jesus. All His joys are but a name, but His love abideth ever through eternal years the same. Oh, the height and depth of mercy. Oh, the length and breadth of love. Oh, the fullness of redemption. Pledge of endless life above. But take the world, but give me Jesus. And you can find contentment here in this text. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, because we have Christ. And when you have Christ, you're contented. You're contented with you for the Lord Jesus. Because you have everything. Everything. It also rewards us also with courage. You see in verse 6. He says that we may boldly say. We may boldly say. After we know that the Lord will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. I can say the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What man shall do unto me? Oh, it fills us full of courage, not only with contentment. Well, I know that Christ is with me. It fills us with great power, and it fills us with courage. I can say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Why is that? Why is this? Because we have the promise. We have the promise, child of God. It's a rewarding promise of contentment and courage and of Christ Himself, because the joy of knowing Christ is with you is immeasurable. It's a real blessing to know that Christ is with you. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, are you rejoicing in the promise today, child of God? As I have said earlier on in the sermon, maybe you've forgotten the promise. You've forgotten these words, simple words that you've read many times, and you've forgotten all about them, and your eyes is upon all your troubles and all the battles that you're facing at this particular time. You've forgotten all about the promise. But there it is. He has said it. Rest on the promise of God today. And then you have been contented with your lot, whatever it may be. There may be tears in your lot. I'm not suggesting there's not. There may be pain and trouble in your lot. But listen, be content. For you have Christ with you. And when you have Christ, you have everything. Could I say lastly and very quickly, it is a restricted promise. What I mean by that is, it's only for certain people. It says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Who are the thee? Who are that people? Well, Hebrews 3 in verse 1, he's writing, he says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. He's writing to a people who are the holy brethren, those who have been saved and washed in the blood of Christ, those who are partakers of the heavenly calling, that heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. He's talking here to God's people, those who are trusting Christ, those who are saved. This is the people that the promise is for. He has said unto them, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's a restricted promise. Because only God's people has this promise, that Christ will never leave them. And very sad, when we come to the Bible, we do find that there will be a people the Lord will forsake. The Lord will forsake. In Matthew 25, verse 41, Christ is speaking. He says, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared to the devil and his angels. Solemn, solemn words found here in Matthew 25, speaking to a people who were not Christ's. They had never repented from their sin. They had never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to those people, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared to the devil and his angels, and he cast them out of his presence. They didn't have the promise. And all can I say to you, unsaved person this meeting, I don't want you to be among that number. The Lord will forsake you, forsaken of God forever. I'm not suggesting he's forsaken you today, the very fact you're in this house. And you have a concern about your soul and a thought about eternity. He is not forsaken you. When you continue on in your sin, you will find that God will forsake you. Christ will forsake you. It is a restricted promise. It's for God's people. And I can say hallelujah today to this promise. I have an ever abiding Savior who's always by my side. No matter where it is, difficult times, hard times, whatever the case may be, I have the promise of his presence. He never, never leave his people. He's with us not just for time, but he's with us for all eternity. We've got the promise. Child of God, you're rejoicing in the promise of Christ to your soul today. He's with you. He's with you. He says it here. Look above the dark clouds. Look above the troubles that press in upon your heart. And look to Jesus Christ. And rest. And not only rest, rejoice in the promise. Rejoice in this promise. For he has said. It's the word of the King, the word of our Savior to our hearts. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. May the Lord write that word upon our hearts. And may we learn to trust him and learn to lean upon his word and be full of the joy in the presence of Christ. We're going to sing a couple of verses of 577. We'll sing the first and the third verse. Sweet is the promise, I will not forget thee. Nothing can be less or turn my soul away. 577. Verse 1 and verse 3, and we'll stand in the same place. your word to our hearts. We pray it has been encouragement to your people. I pray that they'll rest on the promise of our great Savior. Realize that he's with us, not just for time, but for all eternity. I pray for those who know not Christ, and they say, yes, I want this Savior to be mine. I want to him to come into my heart and cleanse me, and to save my soul. And then I know he's with me right to the end of time. I pray that you would dismiss us tonight here, and that the blessing of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide upon each and every one of us, Lord, until we meet again tonight in this fashion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.